morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on GZTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Jors, this morning. And we are talking about your Green Bay Packers. Welcome to the offseason. The title of today's show is named Coming and Leaving Green Bay. I want to touch on a couple topics that have kind of occurred over the past 24 hours revolving around the Green Bay Packers. First of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, sad news revolving the passing of journalist Anthony Shadid, a member of the Associated Press, worked in Beirut, out of Beirut, Lebanon, out of one of their offices overseas, but a huge Packers fan. He had illuminated in an article published just last year the extent his fandom of the Packers extended all the way overseas, listening to games by satellite phone, checking into five-star hotels in the Middle East just to get satellite coverage of the Green Bay Packers. He passed away apparently due to an asthma attack yesterday at the fairly young age of, I believe, mid-40s, 43, something like that. Sad news. Big Green Bay Packers fan, and sad to hear. A great writer, too. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. Terrible loss. But on to better news, or something at least that's not quite so depressing. As far as our title of the show, Coming and Leaving Green Bay, let's start with the leaving. Leaving Green Bay. A former Packer latched on with another NFL team yesterday. Former cornerback slash safety, actually. Kind of started out as a corner and then moved to safety as last year. Brandon Underwood, former Packers sixth-round draft choice, I believe in, what was that, 2010? Or was that 2009 already? Man, time moves fast, doesn't it? But, Jamie Jors writes on her live blog, former troublemaker. Yes, of course, probably no more so known for his off-the-field transgressions than anything he's done on the field. He was the player who got into some sort of altercation with prostitutes in the Wisconsin Dells area, was alleged to have abused them. I think the charges were eventually, dropped? No, on top of that, was also accused of domestic abuse against his live-in girlfriend, and that he pled no contest to. So, there's kind of two big, black eyes for Brandon Underwood in things that have happened off the field to him. And, these are, the things that can't be taken lightly. But anyhow, kind of was one time looked at a guy that had a lot of potential, but because of, these off-field things and not being an elite player, never could overcome them. And, had played a little bit with the Green Bay Packers, but certainly not a lot by any means. And, did happen to win a Super Bowl ring with the Packers in 2010, though. This is a guy who did help the Packers win a Super Bowl. But the Packers moved on this past season in 2011, cut him at the end of training camp, and decided to go in another direction. Actually kept an undrafted rookie, M.D. Jennings, instead of Brandon Underwood, instead of guy who has the experience. Went with a rookie who himself, Jennings, didn't play a whole lot with the Packers in 2011. But regardless, so now he goes out to Oakland and actually joins Reggie McKenzie, former Packers front office guy, now the GM of the Oakland Raiders. So kind of a connection there. At one point it was thought that McKenzie might be poaching, or at least I don't know if you want to use the word poach. That's a strong word, but you know, hiring perhaps other assistant coaches for the Packers. You know, had been thought that many coaches could go there, from Winston Moss to Dom Capers to Darren Perry, others as well, Tom Clements. So, but it didn't happen. Didn't end up happening. And the Raiders go in a different direction, but they do grab one former Packer, Brandon Underwood. So best of luck to him. I hope he turns things around. You know, he certainly had these off-field problems, issues that, you know, can't happen anymore if he wants to continue a career in the NFL. And anyhow, so best of luck to him as he gets a new start. And maybe that's best, you know. Sometimes that's just what everybody needs, a clean slate and a new start to get things back on track, perhaps. So that might have been the biggest news regarding the Green Bay Packers yesterday, a former Packer that signed on with another team. Again, we are in the off-season mode and no big news coming down the pike by any means. But, you know, one more issue that I wanted to spend perhaps the most of the bulk of the show today, going back to the title of our episode, Coming and Leaving Green Bay, saying that's coming to Green Bay, would be the WIAA state basketball tournaments, both boys and girls. This is big news if you live in Wisconsin. I'm sorry, those of you who don't live in Wisconsin, or, you know, perhaps even overseas, this might not be quite as big of news to you, but this has been something that's been, you know, pretty big in the state of Wisconsin, been debated about. It's a big event. It's the state basketball tournament. The best high schools move on for the state tournament final, you know, championship game to determine the best team in the whole state at several different division levels, both boys and girls. This tournament had been held in Madison, the capital of Wisconsin, for many, many years. Almost its entire existence, if I remember correctly, you know, dating back to the early 1900s. So very historical, and it's a big event. What it is it spans 3 days, so pretty much an entire weekend, a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Madison, and they basically, you know, it involves like a dozen games or something, you know, several sessions, you know, filling up an arena almost to capacity. Has been held recently at the Kohl Center in Madison, where the University of Wisconsin basketball team plays, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it draws thousands of people to the Madison area. And now there has been some issues that it may move to Green Bay, and in fact a bid was accepted that would move to the Green Bay area. And I guess here's where the Packers tie comes from. If it happens, it's going to be held at the Resch Center in Green Bay, which is the basketball arena, also a hockey arena, not where the Packers play in Lambeau Field, but the basketball arena. It's where the University of Wisconsin Green Bay plays basketball. It's where the Green Bay Blizzard Arena League football team plays their football. So just to give you a little bit of a background, and it's also where the Packers have held their owners' meetings, the shareholders' meetings in the past, to give you another Packers connection. But part of the what brought the state basketball tournament to Green Bay was a connection with the Packers. The parking for that, you know, facility would be the Green Bay Packers parking lot. Something for which apparently the Packers would make money from. They would split percentages with the WIAA, the governing board of the Wisconsin High School Sports Association. And they've also, you know, offered to give basketball teams that make the state tournament stadium tours, a breakfast with the Packers speaker, and perhaps coaching clinics, things they can learn from professional coaches and players, you know, just as, you know, as part of the whole experience. Because, I mean, this really is a, you know, something very saying these young student athletes have earned to make the state basketball tournament, it's a big deal for, as far as high school sports go in Wisconsin, it's a big deal. So there'd be this connection with the Packers. But anyway, I mean, it's really a controversial thing here in Wisconsin because it's been held forever in Madison. And like I said, it's no small event. We are talking thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of people coming to an area, staying several days, and, you know, bringing in lots of money to the local economy. These are people who are spending monies in restaurants and spending it on shopping and of course, lodging, hotels. It's a big deal. So it would possibly be bringing, you know, lots of money to the Green Bay economy and perhaps the Packers, you know, making some sort of financial gain from it as well, albeit probably small. But I mean, a lot more people will be coming to Lambeau Field, seeing the atrium, doing things like that. But it's been very controversial in Madison because, you know, it's leaving there. And here's where, you know, the controversy has grown. It's a situation where it's always been held recently at the Kohl Center in Madison. Very, very nice facility. I mean, that place has something like a capacity of 14,000 or more. It's even more than that, isn't it? 15,000 plus seating. University of Wisconsin basketball plays there. Also the hockey, and the hockey is kind of the issue. It's at the time of year where the state basketball tournament is being held that also the hockey, college hockey season is being played at as well. So it's always an issue whether it is the University of Wisconsin going to give up the facility, the Kohl Center, to high school students, somebody they're not even affiliated with. They're being very nice and allowing these tournaments to be held there. But really, I mean, they have an obligation to their own athletic teams. And, you know, hockey is a big deal at the University of Wisconsin. Maybe not so much in other places, but you got to know that the University of Wisconsin has the highest attendance of any college hockey team in America, or at least has in the past. So it is a big deal. It is a revenue sport at the University of Wisconsin. And so, you know, the WCHA, the men's hockey conference, holds their conference tournament on campus sites, and it's something where, you know, is the university going to give this up to a high school basketball tournament? And they also want to host the NCAA's Frozen Four for the women's tournament at the Kohl Center. And also, of course, you know, big deal coming up. The Big Ten is now becoming a hockey conference starting in, I think, 2 years. I forget, is it 2012 or 2013? Big Ten hockey. If a lot of people don't even know this, if you're just a casual fan or not even a fan at all of college hockey, but there is no Big Ten conference in hockey, or at least they never had been. And now there's going to be. These six schools that do play it are going to be in a conference, and it's going to be around the time of year where the Big Ten tournament would be held for college hockey. So there's kind of these obligations. Does the university, you know, play these, or do they give it up to the high schools? And there's been, you know, a lot of debate on both sides. And, you know, it is a tough decision. You know, a lot of people feel it's the University of Wisconsin. They should be obligated, obviously, to their own athletic teams first, the men's and women's hockey team. You know, why should they not get to play at their own home stadium? You know, especially at playoff time. It's not just, you know, some regular season game. This is the time of the year when the postseason is on the line. These teams, the men's and women's hockey teams of the University of Wisconsin, should be playing at the Kohl Center in front of their home fans, you know, for what is, you know, playoff time, you know, gut check time in the playoffs. So, I mean, there's that obligation there that the athletic department has to them. But on the other side, the flip side of the coin, the other argument is, you know, why are you going to take away this event, the Boys and Girls State Basketball Tournament, with that has a history of going on 100 years in Madison, take that away from the area. Why do you not want to keep that? Huge gain to the economy. People spending money, tens of thousands of people coming to Madison. Okay? Not only that, it is a recruiting tool for the University of Wisconsin. All these basketball players, both boys and girls, are coming to the city using the University of Wisconsin's facilities and you know, really is a larger-than-life experience to many of those student-athletes, young high school kids. They see the University of Wisconsin playing on TV all the time in the Kohl Center, and now they get to play on that court, on that floor. So big deal to Bo Ryan, Badgers men's basketball coach. I'm sure he loves to see high school players playing in the Kohl Center, and how much that may influence a decision for them to attend that school. You know, big deal. So these are the opposites and pulling directions that the WIAA, again, the State of Wisconsin's high school governing body, is dealing with, as well as the University of Wisconsin, who has to make this decision. Do we keep it or do we give it up and let it go to Green Bay? So it really is not an easy situation. I just read, because I'm a University of Wisconsin alumni, I read a letter from Barry Alvarez, the athletic director, former football coach, the other day, saying how tough a decision it is. You know, that he doesn't want it to leave, but that he does have an obligation to the college hockey teams, athletes who choose to go to that facility, to that stadium, to that school, to provide the best experience possible for them, not take away playoff games from them. And it really is just, wow, just such a case of bad timing that it just happens to be during the playoffs. It really is, if this comes during the regular season, it's not a big deal. You can move a regular season game. You can play on the road that weekend. That can be fixed. But not the playoffs. Not when you've got home field advantage. Not when you might have a berth in the NCAA tournament on the line. So anyhow, that's the news. Again, I apologize to those who may not be familiar with this, outside the state of Wisconsin, but it is a big deal. And so now, very possibly and very likely, the state basketball tournament high school will be moving to Green Bay at the Resch Center, and the Packers being involved to a certain extent. And they'll be providing all these services to the student-athletes that do come there. It usually held in the March time frame of the year, March Madness time, in both college and high school, state tournaments, NCAA tournament being held almost concurrently. I'm not sure they're on the same weekend, but, that's when it'll be held in Green Bay. So you can imagine this, just a month from now, this will be happening. This year still happening in Madison, but perhaps as soon as next year, state tournament coming to Green Bay, being held right next to Lambeau Field. Resch Center is almost adjacent to Lambeau Field if you've never been there before. It's actually right across the street from the Ray Nitschke practice facility where the Packers have all their training camp practices. I'm sure a lot of people listening to the show have been there or have at least walked by there maybe, perhaps. Training camp is attended by lots and lots of people. It's held right across the street, right across Armed Forces Drive, that street, right as you get to Ray Nitschke Field, right across, that's the Resch Center there. Big building, a lot of glass on the front. Bart Starr Plaza is outside the Resch Center. Big statue of Bart Starr right there. But yeah, so that's the news revolving around the Green Bay Packers today. Again, not a whole lot, seeing as it is the off season. But it does get ramped up probably a little bit more in the next week or so. So we're talking next week, teams can start applying these franchise tags. So that's the next thing on the docket, and we'll be talking about that on Monday because I think that's the first day teams can start doing that. So the Packers have a decision to make on Jermichael Finley, Are they going to place it on him or not? And I think it is almost a given that the Packers do. The only thing that might prevent that from happening would be case of Matt Flynn, where they could play, you know, do that tag and trade situation that we've talked about on this show ad nauseum before. But anyhow, so that's coming soon, and next week already, NFL Combine starting now, less than a week away. 1 week from today, we'll be at the NFL Combine. In fact, as far as the future schedule of Railbird Central goes, I know there will be no episode of Railbird Central 1 week from today, next Friday, because I will be in attendance at the NFL Combine. Not so sure about next Wednesday. That's when the Combine starts, but actually, as far as the media coverage goes, doesn't start till next Thursday. So it's actually a very long event. I mean, the NFL Combine spans 7 days from next Wednesday, whatever that date is, what is that, the 22nd of February, all the way until the following Tuesday. So, you know, it spans 6 days. There's technically only 4 days of actual television coverage of as far as the on-field activities go. You know, the things like the 40-yard dash, vertical jump, high jump, three-cone drill, shuttles, things like that. And position drills as well. You know, quarterbacks do the passing, receivers do the catching, you know, positional drills. But there's only 4 days of that, but there's 3 extra days where, you know, other things are happening that are a little bit behind the scenes, things like interviews with teams. That they do, you know, the college players meet with representatives. In the case of the Green Bay Packers, could be meeting with, you know, the front office, like Ted Thompson, general manager, scouts, and even assistant coaches. You know, the whole team will be there. So, another thing that happens is medical testing. They check these guys out, do x-rays, things like that, find if there's any underlying problems, and, you know, for most guys, you hope that there is not those kind of situations. But that's what this event is all about, to find out. I mean, the Packers are, you know, and every team in the NFL is going to be making a big, solid investment in these players if they happen to draft them, going to be paying them hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to find out that there's some medical problem that they could have found out beforehand. So those are the types of things that happen in Indianapolis next week that aren't really televised, that are a big deal, you know, kind of behind the scenes type of stuff that goes on at the NFL Combine. So, you know, starting next Wednesday, I believe players start arriving, and they arrive in groups. It's kind of like one day, I think day one, next Wednesday, it's the offensive linemen, tight ends, and specialists like kickers and punters and long snappers that arrive in Indianapolis on the first day, and then other groups after that. Yeah, I forget who's next, but, you know, like day two might be quarterbacks or something like that. So it's a progression, and you know, 4 different days of workouts happen then. So when you happen to watch the NFL Network, the first day you'll see on-field stuff, you'll only see offensive linemen, tight ends, and specialists. That's it. That's it. The next day, another position grouping will work out. So you don't see all the positions at once. But yeah, starting next week, be something that'll be televised live on the NFL Network. You know, good coverage for the NFL Network, you know, saying at this time of the year where there's no games being played, it gives them something, you know, something to cover. And it's cool stuff, you know, seeing these guys from college, you know, hopefully making their dreams of, you know, playing professional football come true. Who doesn't want that? But, so that's very shortly, these are all the things happening on the offseason docket of the NFL as it, you know, slows down almost to a crawl here right now in the immediate aftermath of the Super Bowl, and now starts picking up again. First with franchise tags starting next Monday, then you get to the combine after that late in the week, and then free agency not far down the road. So things start really getting ramped up then with the NFL offseason machine, and we'll be here to cover it at Cheesehead TV and Railbird Central, of course. So, you know, thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central this morning. That's going to do it for today's episode. Make sure to come back. We'll definitely be on next Monday, on Monday here on Railbird Central, talking about the Green Bay Packers, talking about the franchise tag, JerMichael Finley and Matt Flynn, so, and anything else that happens over the weekend. So, you know, have a great weekend, everyone. We will see you later, and have a good weekend, and go Pack Go. I leave you with a song today called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.